South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Monday, August 15, 2022. Kenya's Deputy President William Ruto has been declared a winner in the just concluded elections.
I, Wafula Chebukati, Chairman of the Independent Electoral Boundaries Commission, hereby declares that Ruto William Samoei of ID number 6847208 has been duly elected as the president.
And a popular South Sudanese musician is killed in Central Equatoria State.
When people search the body, there is so many wounds around his chest, particularly the side of the heart.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The electoral officials in Kenya have declared Kenya's Deputy President William Ruto as the winner of the just concluded elections in Kenya. The head of the Independent Elections Boundary Commission, a body overseeing elections in Kenya, Wafula Chebukati, announced the results this past hour.
So Kenyans came out and voted on the 9th of August, and these are the results of what the will of the Kenyan people reflects. These results are in the public portal. The same results which I'm reading here are the ones in the public portal. So there were four presidential candidates. These are the aggregated results. Odinga Raila, total valid votes, 6,942,930. And this represents 48.85%. of the votes garnered, and he achieved a number of counties the candidate attained. With at least 25% of the total valid votes cast is 34 counties. Ruto William Samoei, number of valid votes, 7,000,000. Thank you. 7,176,141. This represents 50.49%. And he achieved the minimum number of 39 counties at 25%. So, in accordance with the law, the constitution and the law, I, Wafula Chebukati, chairman of the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, hereby declares that Ruto William Samoei of ID number 6847208 has been duly elected as the president. Of the Republic of Kenya under the provisions of Article 138 of the Constitution in the presidential election held on 9th of day of August 2022, and I'll proceed to sign the certificate.
Kenya's president-elect William Ruto had this to say this past hour.
Members of the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission, led by Chairman Waf Chebukati, fellow countrymen and women, good evening. It is a wonderful evening And I want to thank God that we are here this evening to witness this momentous occasion as the people of Kenya restate what is in Article 1 of the Constitution of Kenya, that all sovereign power belong to the people of Kenya. I want to thank God for getting us to this point. I want to thank God that today we have concluded this election. I know that there were predictions that I won't get to the ballot. There were predictions that we won't get here. But because there is a God in heaven, we are here. And I want to, in a very special way, say and confess that without God, we wouldn't have been here. My gratitude also goes to the people of Kenya, the millions who listened to us, the millions who participated in our campaigns peacefully, the millions who turned up to vote for us on 9th of August, and the millions who have waited patiently until this announcement has been made. Specifically, I want to thank my fellow countrymen and women, because we have raised the bar in this election.
What is happening in Kenya?
Jointly, we have raised the bar. This election was much about the issues than the ethnic configurations that have always informed our elections. Gratitude goes to the millions of Kenyans who refuse.
Yeah, what is happening in IABC's broadcast live web access so we can get clicks from there and right around.
I am a very proud Kenyan this evening that the people of Kenya have raised the bar on us who are seeking leadership in our country. Not to sell our ethnicities, but to sell our programs, our manifestos, our agenda, and our plan. Let me also say right at the start that in here and in this election, there are no losers. The people of Kenya have won because we have raised the political bar. I want to say that the people of Kenya, led by the 14 million who turned up to vote, are the biggest winners. The hero of this election is the IEBC.
From Kenya, we move to Juba, where authorities have released a VOA freelance reporter, Ding Magot, after detaining her for more than a week. Security officials arrested Ding at Konyokonyo a week ago after she interviewed a small group of young men who were peacefully protesting at the market. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Journalist Ding Magot was arrested on August 9th at Nyakron shortly after interviewing a young man who took part in a peaceful protest at Konyokonyo market over soaring food prices. Police said she did not have press credentials. Magot was detained at the Malakia police station for 3 days before being transferred to Juba Central Prison. Authorities released Magot this afternoon. Ding Magot's sister, Ayen Magot, tells South Sudan in Focus her sister's detention mentally tortured the entire family. Magot says she is relieved her sister was finally released and thanked the authorities who worked to secure her freedom.
We want to thank God because I have seen Ding and she's happy that she's released. So this is all thanks to everyone who was involved in trying to get her out, and all thanks to God for allowing her to come out unharmed, and she's free at last.
Patrick Oyet, chairperson of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan, welcomed Magot's release, noting it is easy to get sent to jail but complicated to get out. Oyet is calling on authorities to ensure that legal systems are made easier to prevent situations where people charged with simple offenses are released quickly, while advising journalists to be careful, especially when covering protests. Oyet says Magot's detention should not detect other journalists from covering events of public interest.
It shouldn't scare anybody. It is unfortunate. But also one thing which is positive is that the law is there. And another thing is that we have seen a lot of support. We've received a lot of support from other media organizations. We've got a lot of support from even political leaders. We've got a lot of support from the Bar Association, from the various law firms. There are people who are together when it comes to the issue of freedom of expression, the work of journalists.
Oyet says Magot may need psychosocial support after spending several days in detention.
From the few questions we've asked, from the little interaction we've had with her, we know that mentally she is disturbed. She needs some help because she has gone through some experiences that in her life she had never gone through. So definitely she will need some counseling and some form of help, maybe some rest a bit, and then she could resume her work.
Oyet says Magot's detention was not the first of its kind and urges South Sudan authorities to widen the media space so that journalists can freely report on development, including the revitalized peace agreement and upcoming elections. Eliaja Alerkwey, managing director of the South Sudan Media Authority, says the authority cannot comment on Magot's case at this time.
The police say they cannot be able to release because it has already been taken to prison. And we have to follow with the Ministry of Justice to release the journalist, and then we will be able to handle the case instead being treated as a protester. We're able to issue the statement now, but we have already confirmed with the Voice of America that she was assigned to do the covering. And then the rest of the question will be handled by the media authority.
Magot's defense lawyer, David Ayuel, confirms Magot and the six protesters arrested on Sunday were all released on bail today. Asked whether authorities charge Magot with an offense, Ayuel declined to comment.
And for that now, I may not be able to answer now, but I'll be able to maybe some other time. All we know is that they've been granted bail, and if there is any other proceedings that will happen, they will be informed.
Ayuel urges authorities to respect the rights of citizens as stipulated in the transitional constitution, and calls on young people to practice their rights in a legal way whereby their safety is a priority. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
The Kakwa community in Central Equatorial State are accusing members of the South Sudan People's Defense Force for killing a soldier and a popular singer, Yuma Sebastian. The head of Kakwa community says Sebastian left his home last week after being called by soldiers at a military base in Yei, and a few days later his body was discovered at Yei mortuary. For VOA News, Wake Simon Udu reports from Juba.
Kakwa community leader Simon Edward Elias says Yuma Sebastian was killed in the Mahad military barracks of Yei by some members of the South Sudan People's Defense Force, and his body was later dumped at Yei Civil Hospital. Elias' statement could not be verified by VOA. Elias says the entire community of Kakwa is shocked by Sebastian's death. He says Sebastian was healthy when he left his home, but his body had several injuries to the chest. Elias tells VOA Sebastian worked primarily in Eastern Equatoria State. He says shortly after the singer paid a courtesy visit to his home in Yei Town, SSPDF officers called and asked him to report to Mahad military barracks in Yei to answer some questions. Elias says Sebastian was detained at the barracks and that later news quickly spread that he had been killed.
When people search the body, there is so many wounds around his chest, particularly the side of the heart, which is severely either they have been hit by the barrel of the gun and then tortured him to the very severe level, and which resulted actually for his demise.
This morning, some residents in Sebastian's hometown of Yei held a peaceful demonstration. Some carried placards reading "Where is the peace?" and "No one is above the law." The protesters condemned the killing and called on authorities to arrest those responsible. Yei County Commissioner Agre Cyrus Kanyikwa tells South Sudan in Focus that Sebastian left his working duty station in Eastern Equatoria State and traveled to Yei to attend a funeral prayer. Cyrus says before his detention, Sebastian spent 3 weeks in Yei. He says Sebastian was detained by army authorities in Yei on administrative directives, spent 2 nights in a military cell, then found dead on Friday morning.
His answers were not justified. He was then detained. He was detained in the evening of Thursday, that was 11th. He was supposed to be investigated on the 12th. That never took place. And then in the morning of 13th, he was found in the shell of the military officer. They have a detention room for military officers, and he was detained along 7 others, according to the army commander. So in the morning, he was found to have died in the shells of the barracks.
Cyrus says the army commander ordered the body to be taken to the Yei Civil Hospital for examination. Elias says the community wants justice.
We need to see that the justice is done urgently. We will be urging the institution of BFM or the Ministry of Defense and also the authority concerns in the military and security institutions to ensure that those who were involved in the assassination or in the murder of Lieutenant Colonel Bulen Yuma Sebastian should be brought to book.
South Sudanese human rights lawyer Kenyi Yasin says photos of Sebastian's remains indicate he was tortured.
The reason why he said he was intentionally tortured based on the physical photos, the photos that have been circulating on social media, there is ingredients that show that he was tortured, there is infliction of wounds as a result of severe pain.
Sebastian was a lieutenant colonel in the South Sudanese Army, aside from being a popular musician. He was particularly well known among Bari speakers for his song Nakwa Nabodna, which is translated as the best wife. He was also popular for his song Akertalga, translated as the last bullet, a song he sang during the country's struggle towards the days of the referendum advocating for South Sudanese to vote for separation to end marginalization imposed by the then Sudanese regime on Southerners. South Sudan Army spokesperson Major General Lulroy Kwang said he was not ready to comment on Sebastian's death. Last week, some government soldiers were accused of carrying out extrajudicial killings in Mayom County of Unity State and in May in Kajokeji County of Central Equatoria State. The government has promised to bring those accused to justice, but no arrests have been made in last week's killings. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, a church in Egypt caught fire. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how would you start a conversation on a sensitive topic or issue?
First of all, you need to know the context, and you need to know what you are going to talk about and why they have brought it in that particular time. Then from there, you make maybe after the introduction, you build the main body and you conclude.
You first need to put out the key things which you want to talk about which can even capture the interest of the people. Because if you start with something which people doesn't have interest in, they will not give you time to give up what you want to tell them.
You have to know about the issue, and you have to know how to approach the issue. You have to even know how to tackle the issue, and you even have to study on how to speak on the issue to avoid conflict.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
Egypt's health minister says that 41 people were killed when a fire broke out in a Coptic church in the heavily populated Cairo suburb of Mbaba. Witnesses say the fire started following a short circuit in an air conditioning unit.
People shouted and screamed as the fire raged on the top floors of the martyr Abu Sayfain church. Witnesses say it took firefighters 3 hours to arrive at the scene. Many of the victims were children. Egyptian media, quoting eyewitnesses, reported that the fire started after a power outage at the church caused an electrical generator to turn lights and air conditioning units on, triggering a short circuit in one of them. Prime Minister Mustafa Madbouly, along with General Ahmed Rashid, the governor of the Giza province where the church is located, went to the scene of the fire. They presented the government's condolences along with pledges to help the families of the victims. Madbouly says he and members of his government inspected the site of the fire and are prepared to pay 100,000 Egyptian pounds to the families of those who died and 20,000 pounds to families of those who were injured, in addition to providing top-notch treatment to victims who were hospitalized. 100,000 Egyptian pounds would be about $5,214. 20,000 pounds would be just over $1,000. Authorities have also pledged to set up technical and engineering committees to investigate the cause of the fire. Egyptian political sociologist Saeed Sadiq tells VOA that the church is located in a neighborhood full of narrow streets and alleyways. The area was a battle zone between government forces and Islamic militants in 1990.
Coptic churches are usually located in very poor areas, overcrowded, and this is Sunday service, by the way, and that's why a high toll. Because they exist in overcrowded area, usually alleys, separate defense and fire brigades cannot reach it that quickly. So this is a problem.
The incident came 9 years to the day government security forces evacuated a Muslim Brotherhood sit-in camp in the north of Cairo, resulting in a large number of casualties. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
From 2005 to 2015, the number of people going to bed hungry each night fell by nearly 30%, from around 805 million down to 590 million, said USAID Administrator Samantha Power. However, according to a recent United Nations report, today as many as 828 million people are hungry. Much of this misery is due to COVID-19 and, more recently, Russia's unjustified war against Ukraine. However, the most serious existential force driving this disaster is climate change, said Administrator Power.
The biggest threat climate change poses to the world's hungry isn't a sudden shock. It is a long, sustained onslaught. Droughts that don't just last for a season, but for years.
The drought is most acutely felt in the Horn of Africa, said Administrator Power.
Since the year 1900, when people began recording these things, on 7 separate occasions, this region, the Horn, has experienced 3 drought seasons in a row. However, never, not once before, has the region experienced 4 consecutive failed rainy seasons. Until right now.
And our best forecasts tell us that the next rainy season, which usually begins in October, will bring poor rains as well, says Samantha Power. To avert a catastrophe, we must provide aid, investment, diplomacy, 3 areas where the United States is leading, but where others must urgently step up.
Today, I am announcing a surge of nearly $1.2 billion in funding that will be dispatched to meet the immediate needs faced by the people of Somalia, Kenya, and Ethiopia.
In severe food crises, more people die from disease and hunger, said Administrator Power. As part of our assistance, mobile health and nutrition teams will rapidly expand access to vaccines and treat the severely ill. We are providing specialized assistance to women and girls, who are always the hardest hit by crisis-level conditions. But perhaps the most immediate life-saving humanitarian aid we can provide is assistance to revive severely malnourished children. The United States will provide $200 million to UNICEF to produce special nutrient paste packets and distribute them to the areas that most need them, including the Horn of Africa and the Sahel. No child should die from malnutrition when we have the tools to stop it, said Administrator Power. This is one of the best investments, one of the best bargains that we have in our toolkit for dealing with hunger and for dealing with the need for more nutrition and ultimately for development.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now leave you with the song Ita Bambe by Fuji Fumani.
Of election.
It's my Carter on
Fuji Fumani. Baby. International murder. You in love with nobody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wanna fall in love with you, baby. Baby, I'm a bisibu itawaga, baby. Matakala, baby, I'm a bisibu itawaga. You are more than this. You are more than that, baby.
Without you, I can't feel good, cause I know my return is not interfigural.
We have been listening to the song Ita Bambe by Fuji Fumani. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being with us this evening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Sugar like bambi, you in love with nobody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wanna fall.
baby, anamba biskibu itawaga, baby. Matakala, baby, anamba biskibu itawaga. Bini yadwe, ana hiwa shadid. Without you, I can't feel good, cause I know. Mafitani, ja, ja,